Ladies and gentlemen, live from coast of the Carolinas by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time! Introducing the Fistful of Cash Podcast!
What is going on, guys? You are tuning in to the newest episode of Tuesday Touchback, part of the Fistful of Cash Podcast. I am your host, Dale Lippin, and here, as always, with the only co-host that matters when we're talking about co-hosts. Soup, what's going on?
Mark Sanchez is back. Mark Sanchez has some NFL action. First play on the field, 90-yard touchdown. Adrian Peterson's legs. But, you know, Adam Schefter said it. He tweeted it out. Nobody hands the ball off like Mark Sanchez. So, yeah, Colt McCoy went down. I mean, is it that big of a downgrade? I don't know. But the fact that Mark Sanchez is playing football in 2018 is funny to me.
Well, I'm not one that goes into this realm of argument about things, but you cannot convince me that there is not a spot in the league for Tim Tebow and Colin Kaepernick if Mark Sanchez is still in the league.
Colin Kaepernick, yes, should be playing over Mark Sanchez. I'm not a Tim Tebow believer. I know, you know, he won the playoff game.
He's the greatest athlete of all time, right? Yeah, good.
We're not going to do this. I know he won the playoff game against the Steelers, but Tim Tebow is not an NFL quarterback. Kyler Murray, on the other hand, could be.
He's got a good arm.
Haskins looked real good this weekend. Jake Fromm looked very good. Justin Fields, on the other hand, did not. The only person that looked worse in that Georgia game than Justin Fields was Kirby Smart. But I'm not going to get in my feelings right now.
No,
I'm not. We'll talk about the college football. We'll talk about it. We'll get into it. But right now, I'm not going to get into my feelings about Kirby Smart. So this was championship weekend. And as much as it pains me to say it, I think the committee got it right by putting Oklahoma in. Do I think Georgia is a better football team? Yes, I do. I think they proved that in their game against Alabama. But Oklahoma avenged their only loss of the season. They won their conference championship. They have the Heisman winner. Yes, I'm saying it now. Kyler Murray's at a -160 to win the Heisman. I think Kyler Murray is the Heisman winner. Tua looked bad, and then Tua got hurt. Our Haskins Heisman future, I believe, is dead. If they didn't lose to Purdue, if they would have went undefeated, Haskins wins the Heisman, hands down.
Right.
47 touchdowns, that's winning you the Heisman. But they did get throttled by Purdue on national TV. Not his fault. I think he threw for like 450 yards and two touchdowns in that game. But your team gets factored into it. We went out of the 8 championship games we picked. We went 5-3, and I would say all 3 that we lost.
We were winning up until about the last damn minute. So
right, Buffalo blowing that lead. Boise missing 2 field goals and an extra point.
Memphis.
Oh, and Memphis blowing a 17-point lead against UCF. Yeah. So, but like we hit on the Oklahoma, we hit on the Ohio State, we hit the under on the Georgia-Bama. We did well on championship weekend. But, yeah, just 3 unfortunate blown games by the 3 teams that we picked.
Yeah. Also, I was very wrong on the Kamaru Usman Dos Nachos fight. Usman, let me put it this way. Usman has the makings of a future champion in the UFC for sure. He has the skill set. He just has no finishing instinct, and that drives me nuts. I think he could have gotten Dos Anjos out of there about 11 different times. And just, I don't know, just he seemed compelled to beat Dos Anjos up for 25 minutes than he was to actually go out there and finish the fight. So we missed that. But what I wanted to talk about, I mean, and I think it's outside of college football, what everybody's talking about, and you and I haven't had a chance to really reflect back on it since Saturday night. The great debate right now, was Tyson Fury robbed? I would like to know your position.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, Wilder had two 10-8 rounds with the knockdowns. You can argue that he won the second round, but at absolute worst, Tyson Fury took 8 out of the 12 rounds. You can give Wilder the second round, his two knockdown rounds, and maybe make an argument for him somewhere in, I don't know, maybe the 11th round with a little flurry at the end of the 11th round. But yeah, at worst, you're putting Tyson Fury at 8 out of the 12 rounds. And unless you're scoring those knockdowns 10-6, then yes, he won that fight. The fact that one of the judges gave it to Wilder, that was garbage. And
I don't know who gave – I mean, who gave – I don't know. I didn't look and see who the judge was that gave it to Wilder. But that – you know, I would be okay with a majority draw. Like if they just said majority draw, whatever, I'd still think that they had it wrong. It is what it is. But to have it be like a split draw, right, where one guy actually had that fight for Wilder, where were you at? Yeah. What were you watching? You know,
and shout out to the Gypsy King. I don't know if you saw this, but he took his $8 million and donated every single penny.
Did he really?
Yes, he donated every single penny to local homeless shelters. So big ups to him, man. That's awesome. Yeah, man, seriously, that's good stuff. Deontay Wilder probably took his $9 million and went and bought some ridiculous watch and some gay ass face mask he's going to wear to his next fight.
He's really got a the problem with guys like Deontay Wilder is he doesn't have enough people in his life that love him enough to tell him that he looks stupid. That weird diamond crusted peacock raven thing looking like Maleficent. I don't know what that was. And, you know, maybe he's good with his money. I don't know. I can't imagine that he is, just by the way he, you know, that he conducts himself. Maybe he is, but I feel like he was probably dumb enough to get that mask and crown combo made using actual like diamonds or gems of some sort.
Yeah, he looked like
legitimate.
He looked like a ghetto character out of an Edgar Allan Poe poem.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. He looked stupid as shit. And then, you know, he looked every bit the brawler and not the non-boxer. Fury came out and put on a Tyson Fury performance. He didn't get him out of there. He didn't even really hurt Wilder at any point in the fight, I don't think. He landed a couple clean straights, but he didn't. I don't think he ever had – like Ortiz had Wilder in all sorts of trouble right before Wilder came out and knocked him out. I don't think that Wilder was ever in trouble in that fight. Maybe Gas Tank and his heart was hurt a little bit, but I don't think from a physical standpoint he was ever hurt in that fight. Obviously, Fury was. You know, the first down he got clipped behind the ear, which, you know, that's a big thing for throwing, you know, the equilibrium off. I want to talk to you about the second knockdown, though, because there's videos going around online with the 10 count. Do you think that count was slow?
Oh, absolutely. I do think it was a slow count, but you have to give your credit to Tyson Fury for doing his best Mark Calloway impression. For those of you who don't know who Mark Calloway is, he is better known as The Undertaker. And that was like vintage WrestleMania Undertaker, eyes roll back in his head, and the six on the six count hits, and his eyes open, he sits up, and he's just, you know, he's back. Yeah. That was, I mean, we were talking, watching the fight together. obviously in different states, but we were talking over Xbox as the fight was happening. And he caught him, and I got up. It's, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. My daughter's upstairs sleeping, and I am screaming at the lowest volume possible, you know, because we obviously took inside the distance, and I thought that it was over. And when he sat up, man, it was like the life was sucked out of me. It's like he took the life out of me and put it back into his body to stand up and finish that fight. But yes, I do think it was an extremely slow 10 count.
So two veteran tricks that Fury did for both of those knockdowns. One, he got up, and as soon as he got up, he grabbed the hold of the ref, which delays the ref, you know, 1-2 seconds to react. And then as soon as the ref, like, knocks his hands off, he walks away. Because the ref needs to bring you back over, look at you, wipe your gloves, you know, make sure your eyes are where they need to be, and before they let the fight continue. Tyson Fury, even though that was a slow 10 count, was able to add like another 5 or 6 seconds onto that just by employing those two techniques both times he got knocked out. The other thing too is that Wilder showed no you look at his fight against Bermain Stiver, and you look at his fight against Ortiz or any of these other guys that Russian dude, Sapolka or whatever his name is. He had him hurt, and then he comes running across the ring and tries to get you out of there. And a little bit more work, and he could have got Fury out of there. However, he did not come back and attack him as if he was a wounded animal. He sort of like let him get himself back in the fight, which I didn't understand. I expected way more.
I think after the first knockdown, I think Wilder completely gassed himself, because he did jump on him after the first knockdown and try and get him out of there, and he punched himself out. And it actually ended up being at the end of that round, it actually turned to where Wilder was the one, you know, hanging on to Fury, trying to stop Fury from jabbing him. He completely punched himself out. And I think come the 12th round, I think he threw everything in him with that left. And after Fury got up, it was just, you know, Wilder was in so much shock. I think he had nothing left in him. I think he was just gassed mentally and physically.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so we had two UFC events this weekend as well. Ultimate Fighter finale, like we talked about. Usman beat Dos Anjos. And then we had the UFC Adelaide card, where the big three, Mark Hunt, Tyson Pedro, and Tai Tuivasa, all lost in rather convincing fashion. So what does that do for the strength of the brand, if you will, when you set up a card like that where it's all hometown favorites and guys that are, you know, fan favorites as well, and they go in there and they just – it was a whole night of losing. I mean, where does the UFC go from here as far as events in Australia?
Yeah. If Tai Tuivasa and Pedro would have lost to, you know, not UFC legends, you know, if they were just throwing cupcake fights, I know Shogun's at the end of his career and Junior Dos Santos is, you know, his body's just broken down and he's punch drunk. But if they would have lost to lesser opponents, I would say it would have a lot bigger of a factor. But the fact that they did lose to two guys that can make an argument for the UFC Hall of Fame, I don't think it's that bad. And Mark Hunt, that was unfortunate. I know you were cheering for him. I know in the first round, you said he threw a kick to the knee, and it looked like he just had bones sticking out of his foot the rest of the fight. But
yeah, his foot was just blown all the way open. I don't know what – I mean, as hard as he kicks and as hard as a knee is, I mean, I guess it split the skin. But I didn't see anything post-fight where he was saying that his foot was broken. But honestly, I think that it didn't look like – it hasn't looked for a while now like Mark Hunt wants to fight anymore.
I know. Watching him walk out, it didn't even look like he wanted to fight.
Right.
The haka was cool. That was, you know, an interesting thing to walk out to. But yeah, he just looked, it just looked like he was there. You know what I mean? He didn't have fire in his eyes. It was just like, here's another fight. Let's just get it done. Let's get it over with.
Right. Because nobody's ever making the argument that Justin Willis should be somebody that Mark Hunt should fear. But this current iteration of Mark Hunt that is existing and living in the fight landscape just does not appear to want to fight. You know, and maybe it's just, he doesn't want to fight in the UFC because, you know, obviously he's gone. But I don't know, dude. It's just, the Alexio Linick fight, he seemed like he had a little bit more gas in the tank for that, but then got caught and that was the end of that. So I don't know, man. He said, I'll see you someplace else, which indicates that he's probably going to fight again somewhere else. And I think that Ryzen or One is probably where he's going to end up. Someplace in Asia, Mark Hunt and figures like him have always been huge in Asia. And I think that they'll pay him a lot of money just to show up and knock out, you know, Korean tomato cans. So we'll see what happens. I was just disappointed. It, you know, being a huge Mark Hunt fan, you hate to see one of your guys. You know, I don't necessarily think that he's riding off into the sunset, but I hate to see a guy, you know, ride off into the sunset like that. That was just a piss poor performance. He didn't seem like he wanted to be in there. So, well, I mean, we've got full slates of stuff coming up. You know, talk about some wins, talk about some losses. I suffered a big loss this weekend in addition, in that I am the sole owner of last place in our fantasy football league.
Yes, sir. Yes, you are. Oh, man, is that sweet. And I'm sitting in the 2 seed with a first round bye with Todd Gurley on my team. So that's always a positive. I'll tell you one thing. If he pulls this shit, where he runs it down to, you know, the half yard line and goes down one more time, now that it's fantasy playoffs, I'm going to lose my mind. This is the second time he's done it this year. Luckily, he wasn't, you know, there was more time on the clock in this game, so they still had to run the ball and he ended up running it in anyways. But yeah, Todd Gurley, you need to stop that. Just run it in, man. You literally have a chance to break. Well, you did before you barely touched the ball against the Chiefs, and but he was on pace to break LaDainian Tomlinson's touchdown record in a season.
Yeah.
And I get it. No, like, good for him, dude. He's putting, you know, the team over his personal stats. But when you're already up 9 points, scoring a touchdown with a minute 30 left, that's really not gonna matter, dude. Like, you're gonna go up 16. So unless you're gonna let up a touchdown, two-point conversion, onside kick, touchdown, two-point conversion, and go to overtime in a minute 30. Like, I guess it's possible. But run that damn touchdown in.
Yeah. Stop acting like that. all right. We do have a massive UFC card this weekend.
So, I want to touch on one thing, college football real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I want to play something back from our Tuesday episode.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not one to pat myself on the back.
Oh, here we go.
By any means.
Yeah, but you're about to play a sound clip of yourself.
Just gonna play a little clip here from the Tuesday Touchback. So just give this a listen.
At +28, I'm just gonna go over 52.5 here. You suggested that to me earlier. I was dead set on Pitt +28, but I'll be damned if Clemson comes out and wins this game like 42-10. I'll be real pissed that I took Pitt +28. So
yeah, there I said, if you guys didn't hear it, I said I would be real pissed if Clemson came out and won that game 42-10. So we suggested taking over 52, buying the half point from 52.5 down to 52. I don't know if you got to see the final score of the game or not. But I believe I think it was 42-10, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if you're making this big of a production out of it, I'm going to assume that it was 42-10.
Oh man, that game! I watched the game. It was halfway through the third quarter, and Pitt had 5 passing yards, and Clemson had 56. they literally rode Tyler Etienne the whole way throughout that game and their defensive line. But yeah, Clemson dominated 142-10. We'll cover this UFC card, and then I want to touch back on college football playoffs, some early bowl lines, just stuff to look forward to. But yeah, UFC this weekend, we have the Holloway Ortega fight, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're not going to give, I don't want to give picks, but I do want to just break down a fight or two off of this card, get your initial reactions. So Jimmy Manoa versus Thiago Santos, a fight that was scheduled to be a main event earlier in the year, but you know, Manoa had to pull out at the last second. So what are you thinking when it comes to the poster boy here going up against Maheta? I'm leaning towards Manoa here because of just the fact that he beats everybody that he's supposed to beat. And he needs this fight.
But is he supposed to beat Thiago Santos?
Well, that's the thing, as I don't know if he is or not. And Santos is trending upwards. You know, he's got himself a nice little streak here. He's looked real good as of late. And Manoa does not have the world's strongest chin. And I think I guess the question becomes, how quick can Santos get out there and get those legs working and get those kicks going and then eventually touch Manoa? I mean, because he's going to have to do it before Manoa can hit him, because everybody knows Jimmy Manoa's got one punch knockout power. So, I mean, how do you see this one playing out?
I think if the Thiago Santos that showed up against Eric Anders shows up, I think he walks away with the victory here. And that, like you said, it's about how early he gets the legs going. That dude can chop down oak trees.
That's with what those I'm saying. Legs. It's unreal. Like,
there's no doubt about that, man. That's one of the, you know, no way. Like, people, you know, oh, I don't want to get punched. I don't want to get kicked. Like, I take one of those kicks to the thigh and I'm done. Yeah. I'm down on the ground. I'm, you know, in the fetal position. Yeah. If he can get the legs going early and he can keep, you know, his distance using his kicks, I think that he'll win this fight.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. You know, they started releasing the embedded videos, so got to see how everybody's weight cut's going and everything else. But weight cut no more. We've got Joanna. It doesn't feel right calling her Joanna champion anymore until she wins a belt back. But she's taken on Valentina Shevchenko for the vacant women's flyweight title that was stripped from Nico Montagna. So I think that Shevchenko is going to be too big for her. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you in this. I think Shevchenko is just going to bully her around. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too. I think she's just too physically imposing. You know, Joanna had a hard time pushing Rose around. I don't know what the hell she's going to do fighting Shevchenko. Here's the other thing too, and I can't presume to know what she does, you know, from day to day. And I've said this before on the show, I don't think that a fighter should absolutely live in a gym. You know, obviously they have to have lives, but you know, Joanna is super active on social media and she's always like posting, like she's either, you know, where someplace doing something non-workout related, which is fine, or she's doing some sort of like strength and conditioning, like exercise. So like, is she at the point now where she like, we just feel like we've got the, you know, the actual fighting portion of the career, like, you know, buttoned up and squared away. I'm wondering how much actual like fighting she's doing or sparring or anything like that. Or is she just doing like a Robbie Lawler thing where like Lawler doesn't spar anymore because he said it doesn't benefit him at all. Do you think that's what we're dealing with here, or just we don't see it, or what do you think?
I have no idea, but I agree. When you were, when you were building up to that, I was going to cut you off and say it's like she's in a different country every single day.
Yeah,
you're right. It doesn't. I'm sure she's training. Like, I'm not going to take anything away from her. She's a world class athlete, but it does seem like, you know, she's making 15 to 20 posts a day, and she's always out doing something, or I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird, especially with a fight coming up.
Right. Most people go into like a zero dark 30 kind of thing with fights coming up. But we're less than a week out, and she's still putting up 10 posts a day, 15 posts a day. And it's always like – and they might be older pictures too. You never know. But like she'll be standing there like eating an ice cream cone, holding a balloon. Like what?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Anyway. All right.
She needs to go zero dark 23.
Zero Dark 23. Listen, if she's got a fan club, I'll send her a copy of the Godfather book.
Right.
The book, because everybody read the book.
For those of you guys might not get that. We're making fun of LeBron James.
Oh, no, they got it.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Oh, no, they know. They know what the deal is. All right, so Max Holloway coming off of a huge layoff after concussion-like symptoms pulled him out of the last time this fight was booked. He's going up against the undefeated Brian Ortega. Is the blessed era going to continue a little bit longer, or is Ortega going to take the spell from him?
This is tough, man. I don't want to make a pick on this fight. I really don't. I wouldn't be mad if either one of these guys won. I think they're both extremely entertaining to watch. I don't want to make a pick on this. I just want to sit back, relax, and enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm with you. If it would be easier for me to make a pick if Ortega was fighting anybody other than Max Holloway. I happen to like Max Holloway. I think he's a little cheesy. Definitely make you cringe a little bit when he starts trying to smack talk or get his little Muhammad Ali act going on. But he seems to be a genuine, like, really good dude. And he's young. He's exciting. He finishes fights. He's what that division needs as far as champions go. But Brian Ortega is an absolute monster, man. And he really, really, I think, believes that, like, this is his moment. It's going to be fireworks on Friday night for sure. I don't know what to expect, if I'm being completely transparent about it. I don't know what to expect. I don't know. Nobody knows what was wrong with Max Holloway besides the concussion-like symptoms. So what does that mean? You know what I mean? What's he going to look like come weigh-in time? I did see, though, that they got Renato Moicano geared up and waiting in the wings to fill in for either one of these guys should they fall out come fight week, so this week, or miss weight or anything like that. Moicano's going to cut weight and do the whole nine with everybody. In the event that Max Holloway gets pulled or Ortega gets pulled, he's just going to fill right in. So they're the first time I've heard of them going to such extensive lengths to make sure that there's a title fight, this title fight happens. Normally they just scrap it, promote the co-main to main, and go from there. But they really want to see that featherweight belt get defended one way or another. So should be interesting for sure. I'm going to wait and see the lines on stuff before I make a selection on something. So what are you thinking college football playoff-wise?
Okay. So, obviously we've got bowl season coming up. Just some early lines. I was looking through stuff that I like already. The Las Vegas Bowl. You've got Arizona State plus 4.5 against Fresno. I like Arizona State getting 4.5 in that game. In the Boca Raton Bowl, I like UAB minus 1 against NIU. We'll get into some bigger games here. Let's see. So West Virginia Syracuse. This one's interesting to me. West Virginia's coming in at minus 7 right now. Will Greer, who I don't know if he's going to play. He still hasn't announced if he's going to play. He is a senior. I don't think he needs to – I don't think he can raise his draft stock anymore. The only thing he can do is lower it by getting hurt. So I don't know if Will Greer is going to play in this game. The over-under on that is 74.5. I know Dungy is questionable. He might play. If Greer and Dungy both play in this game – I love the over 74.5 in this. Both these teams are going to drop 40 plus points.
If they don't play,
then yeah, pound the under.
Well, that's what you said. You said if they
I mean, if Greer and Dungy both play, okay. I love the.
Okay. If they don't, then take the under.
Yeah, but I mean, if they both announce that they're, you know, they're not playing, I fully expect that under to drop closer to 60 points.
Even then, though, you don't think it'll be a thing where they'll come out, play like three series, and then, you know, take the helmet off and go sit down?
No. I think if Greer's going to play, Greer's going to play. He's going to play the whole game.
All right.
Michigan, Florida, that'll be a good one. We got Michigan coming in at -7.5. I'm kind of leaning towards Florida in this one for the fact that Michigan does have four guys starting defenders that have already announced that they will not be playing and going to the draft. So you take away their best unit in defense, and that opens up the game for Florida. So getting into the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day games, Oklahoma, Alabama. Alabama's coming in at -14. I like over in this. Do you know what the over under is?
I do not.
Take a guess.
Oh, 64.
79.5. I like the over. I think, dude, if Tua's healthy, Bama's gonna score 50. That Oklahoma defense is not gonna stop. Tua and company might score every single drive. And I truly believe that. That Oklahoma defense, man, is it bad. And obviously when Tua is healthy, Alabama's offense is unbelievable. So over 79.5, I'm looking at that. Notre Dame, Clemson. I kind of like Notre Dame to keep this within 11.5 here. I think Ian Book will be able to exploit somewhat of a leaky secondary that Clemson has. I think it'll be enough to keep it within 11.5. What else? Let's see. Ohio State, Washington. Ohio State opened at -3.5. They're up to -5 already, and we're a month away from that game. So that they're getting pounded right now. And then you've got Texas, Georgia. Georgia coming in at -11, over under 58. I like the under 58 in that. But for my predictions, I'm going to, you know, I think Bama beats Oklahoma. And I think Clemson beats Notre Dame, and I think we're going to have an Alabama-Clemson for the third time in 4 years. as much as Bama versus Clemson's getting old, the Tua and Trevor Lawrence factor brings a little bit of fresh blood to this rivalry. I still think Alabama wins the national championship, obviously, and that 100% depends on Tua's availability. But Nick Saban says that he believes Tua is going to be fine. You know, he's got a month. It'll be interesting. But as of right now, I say Bama versus Clemson. Bama, I think, will win that game by double digits. Now to Georgia. I think Georgia was the only team that has a legitimate shot at beating Alabama. And I think it has a lot to do with Kirby Smart and his, you know,
he's familiar with them.
Yes, he is familiar with them. I'm not even going to try and stumble over it.
No, go ahead, do it. What with them?
Him being familiar with Alabama and with Nick Saban. Jake Fromm had the game of his career, which was ruined by a 4th-and-11 fake punt at the 50-yard line when Bama threw a 3-4 defense out there. They weren't even in punt return or punt block. That should have been a timeout. It should have been audibled out of. But Fromm played amazing. Swift and Holyfield looked good. The defense looked good. I think Georgia was the best bet to beat Bama. But now that they're not in it, I think that Bama's going to roll to a national championship.
We shall see. Let's look at heading into Friday's show. Let's look at some lines in which maybe give us an opportunity to hedge on a national championship game, perhaps, like taking Oklahoma to win the national championship now, and then even if they were to somehow win against Bama, maybe we can hedge depending on who they play or something like that. Let's see if we can't get creative with it.
If I was going to take any team to win the national championship as a dog, I would be taking Notre Dame because they're going to give you enough odds that come national championship, you're going to be able to hedge and make a decent bit of money. If you took Clemson, you're not going to get great return on investment on that one. But if you take Notre Dame, you're going to get good enough odds. And I think they do have a chance. I think they have a better chance to beat Clemson than Oklahoma does to beat Alabama. So I would go Notre Dame. I don't know what their odds are right now. Let's see, to win national championships. And Notre Dame, okay, Notre Dame and Oklahoma are both coming in at plus 1,200. Like I said, I think Notre Dame has a better chance to beat Clemson than Oklahoma does to beat Alabama. So I would take Notre Dame. Bama's coming in at minus 300. I don't even know if that's I don't even know if it's worth it.
Yeah, let's think about it, because things might change too. So just look at it. But as far as that goes,
look at it. Would you just look at it?
Just look at it. Let's just pull it out and look at it. All right. That does it for the Tuesday touchback, man, unless you got anything else.
The only thing I got is look into the Rams minus 3 against the Bears this weekend, guys. That's the opening line. I expect that to go up. Rams are on the road at Soldier Field, but it's Trubisky's first game back. Might be a little rust taking 2 weeks off. If something were to happen where he can't go and it's Chase Daniels, this will jump up to probably 10. So this is banking on Trubisky coming back. The minus 3 is.
Are they in Chicago? Where are they at?
Yes, they're in Chicago.
Okay, that makes more sense. All right.
Right.
All right, we'll keep an eye on it. And if you feel confident enough on it now, you can go ahead and throw something on it now while the line is what it is and ride that lightning and hope, you know, that either Trubisky looks like shit or he takes some more time off. You never know. So, but all right, I'm putting a bow on it. It's over with. Tuesday touchback, done. See everybody on Friday.
As always, guys, clear eyes, full fist, can't lose.